Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Bernard, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, Kate, yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah,
Bernard, you really miss your local pub.
Yes, indeed. I tell you, they're talking there about receipts and tills and doing this and doing that. I don't give two hells what's happening out there as once I get into my local and have my pint, have my football game, my horse race, and meet people. I haven't seen anyone since the 14th of March. There's no pub opened. I live locally a mile from town. If people think I'm going to jump into my car or get a taxi down and go for a meal before I go for a few pints, that's not going to happen. Definitely not going to happen. You know, we need the pubs opened, the rural pubs in particular, and localised towns. Cities will operate a different game. You know, they're big cities, they have restaurants, they have their proper way of working things, but towns, like the restaurant pub I go to, they're straight up, you know. They're entertaining people. They have their games on. They could have five big screens on for rugby, one for soccer, one for horse racing, and one for the Gaelic Games. And they provide a service to the people. But the people can't get in to see those things are providing.
Are they offering food in that pub?
Well, it would be a pub restaurant I'm talking about, my local, you know.
Does your local not do food now?
They do, yeah.
Oh, they do. But you're not willing to pay the €9 for the meal beforehand?
Well, there's not much point because I live in the area, you know, and I have my dinner, I have my supper, I have my breakfast here at home. And there's nothing like a good bit of home cooking, you know.
But you're not going to swap that for chicken wings down in the
pub? No, definitely not.
But you say there you haven't seen anyone since March. Have you? I mean, have you any other social outlets?
Well, you know, up to recently now, you could maybe go for a walk or outside your own county or go anywhere. But I just couldn't be bothered. I miss my company out in the pub. The old pub on a Saturday afternoon and the old pub on a Sunday and a bank holiday. You just couldn't meet that anywhere. You need them. We all need that. We worked hard all our bloody life and now we're being housed and kept in like hens, you know. There's something wrong somewhere. It's not just adding up, you know.
Can you see why there is a nervousness from the public health doctors in relation to pubs and what might happen in pubs in terms of the, you know, transmission of this virus?
Yeah, the doctors are correct in the line that they've probably taken. But, I mean, if you have a big town and there's 10 restaurant pubs in it, they're packed to the gills. And the wet pubs, I don't know where that comes out. The wet pubs, I don't like using that terminology. But anyway, the wet pubs are standing at their door looking at people. And young lads going in and filling themselves with drink like Killarney the other week or last weekend and dancing in cars and acting the league, you know. And these poor publicans, if they opened up all the pubs in every town, there would be an even spread. And things like that may not happen, you know.
How are you in yourself? Are you in the age group that might be more vulnerable to this virus, Bernard?
Well, you're just a bit below that. We'll put it like that. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm not over 70. I'll put it like that too, you know.
But are you minding yourself, though?
Oh, I absolutely, I'm afraid. I am scared. There's no doubt about that. And I'm scared for my family and friends as well. But, I mean, the way that things are going at the moment, like if you go into a football field, you're not allowed to go into a football field. Oh, in the open air where you're breathing in good oxygen and there's something not right. It's 2 and 2 makes 5 here, you know. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I know. And you know, because we've discussed this on this programme several times now, and a lot of people are so disappointed by that, the fact they can't go to see their local club play. But, you know, what the public health doctors are saying, it's the gathering before and after and the, you know, people sharing transport to these places, that's why they have banned spectators at matches.
Yeah, there's a knock-on effect there too for taxi drivers. You know, you go down to a local, you have a few pints, you don't drink and drive, you end up getting a taxi home. Them taxi people have a house mortgage just like every one of us and children going to school. They're losing out too. If you sit down and study the whole thing, you know, they've got construction workers back, they have factory workers back, and they have this going on and that going on, and the schools are back. And the person that worked hard all their life, there's no wet pub to go into.
Would you be into Zoom calls or anything like that, Bernard?
No, nothing like that, no.
No. Because,
but
yeah.
But you know, it's there's something pretty sad. Something wrong. It's not adding up. You know, at the start now, when they before the restaurants opened, my thing was that open up the restaurants and the bars, you'll end up opening graves. You know, I did. That was my thinking on it at that time.
Really?
But, yeah. But now I can see a different light to it because you've got pubs, restaurants opened at the moment and they've been packed with young lads and they're out to enjoy themselves. You know, they have to get out too, you know. But it means the ordinary man on the ground and woman that wants to go for a pint on a Saturday afternoon, not a meal, because they live in the town they're living in. You know, it's all right for tourists to be going into restaurants, but local people would only go into restaurants, you know, an odd time to a party or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly you go down to the pub to meet the guys and have a pint, you know. And I certainly bring all with me, my children at the time and my grandchildren. And that's all gone, you know.
And do you see your grandchildren? Do they live near you?
They don't live too well. I've got four living fairly close, which is good. They come up now and all that. That's one breather, and I'd be delighted to see them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, delighted to see them.
It's tough that you can't have the hugs, though.
Yeah, but I'd hug them.
Do you?
I have no fear of that. No, I've no fear of that at all. You know, they're my flesh and blood. I love them. And that's important that you must give that little cuddle, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I used to be, when the mob, the initial stage, I put out my elbow and elbow the young lad. He's only, we call him the boss, he's only four.
Yeah.
And he gets into the habit of this. Every time he gets up, he gives me the elbow, you know. But the children are very lovely people, like, you know. They're the most harmless young lads and girls that you could meet, you know.
But I often wonder about the very small kids that are out there now, children out there now, who are being warned off hugging, you know, their grandparents and older relatives. And it must be very strange. It's a very strange world for a child.
It's up to the whole family what they want to do. You know, if the family are quite happy to hug their children and their grandchildren, let them off, you know. If they don't, then they can explain to the children why.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing I hate about this whole thing is the children and the youth have been left out of the conversation, you know, of the conversation and discussion on all of this pandemic. They haven't been brought into it in the media. They're lost. Somebody's not speaking for them. They need some youth to be on that radio or television explaining the dangers, and the message will get through fairly fast.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay, Bernard, thank you for that. I want to bring in Pat now. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Now, Pat, you're an old age pensioner yourself.
I am, yeah.
Not that old, though, I have to say.
71.
Yeah. And all the pubs, are all the pubs where you are closed?
Yeah, we're in the village. Four pubs in it.
Yeah.
And they're all closed since March.
Right. And are any of them pubs that are also doing food?
No, none of them can do food at all. There's nothing else in the village. There's not even a chip shop now at the minute.
Right. So they couldn't even go down that road.
They can't even go down that road.
If they wanted to. Yeah.
No.
So have you been in a pub then?
No, I've been in one once. But to get to it and come home, I couldn't afford it. It was €42 for 3 pints.
So what was that the taxi and 9 euros?
€10 for a taxi in, €10 for a taxi out.
That's 20.
€10 for food and 20. €12 for the 3 pints.
Right.
So you can make that up anyway. It's €14 a pint.
€14 for the for the 3 pints.
For the 3 pints.
£42 for the 3 pints.
Yeah,
£14
each.
Yep.
Now I couldn't afford to do that twice or three times a week on €245.
No, nobody could.
And I love an old pint. I have a mate of mine, he's 76, 74, 75.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen him since March. He's terrified of his life to go out of the house. And he lives out in the country. He's sort of on his own out there.
And would he have gone to the village?
We went down to the village. I'm not too far from it.
Yeah.
I could go down in a wheelchair.
You're in a wheelchair yourself?
I am. Mobility score, wheelchair.
Right.
That long to go, I think, or so to tell me. But anyway.
So you would get on the mobility scooter and head down to the village?
And go down there, yeah.
And would this friend of yours...
Oh, he'd be doing the shopping for the week on a Friday.
Right.
And he'd walk in the mile in and walk out again.
Right. And you haven't seen him since March?
Not a word from him since March. He hasn't the phone.
Ah, God, he's in a very isolated situation.
Out.
And you can't make it, of course, in your situation.
I can't make it out, you know. And we were best of pals. We watched the old football there on a Sunday evening and maybe on a Friday night after it was rugby or something on, whatever it was. We'd look at it in the evening time, not late into the night. We'd have the 3 points, so we could go in at 4 and be over by 7.
And he doesn't have a phone, so you can't even call him and have the chance.
No, no.
That's a tough situation to be in now.
And like, there's many more like us here.
And are you finding it hard yourself? Do you live on your own, Pat?
No, they live with the wife, but I'm here, you see, I can't walk too far, I can't go too far.
Yeah.
And she looks after me most of the time here, well, all the time. But what I'm saying to you is, I'm sitting here now in the sitting room, looking out through the window at a bungalow across the road from me, and cars going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'll see today. There's a milkman that comes with, goat's milk twice a week to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. And he leaves the house, we say, leaves the milk at the door. We leave out the 2 bottles and the money in it. Then when he comes, he takes up the empty bottles and the money and leaves the 2 full bottles there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even get to say hello to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's desperate down the west here.
It's a lonesome.
Ah, sure, I'm in bits with.
Are you?
Oh, I'm in bits with what I've been told by the doctors. And then I can't go out to get a pint. So I might as well be dead. That's the way I look at it. There's no point in saying that there's old age pensioners out there, like myself, or maybe old or not, that has nothing to do. Only go down and sit there for a couple of hours and chat to the people and just have that bit of communication with their friends.
And I'd say just by the way you're talking to me there, Pat, you're a man who likes to chat.
Ah, sure, I'd talk forever. I love company. I love to be around people. No matter when, in my younger days and all, I'd love to be, I was in the middle of any crowd having a chat. And now I don't hear a voice only my wife's.
Yeah, it's very tough. There is obviously, and we were talking to Ronan there about it. There is there's a lot of big push on now for those pubs, the wet pubs, which I never heard that word before until the last couple of weeks.
No, it's a terrible thing. I've worked in pubs since 1965, up to a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and I've always been into pubs and clubs, and. I never heard anything like it, wet pubs. And then, they can go out and buy a pizza and bring it into the pub.
Yeah.
Well, what's to stop me bringing down a pizza that the wife cooks and pour it under my arm and go down to the pub and pour it out in the counter and eat? I won't be worrying about food poisoning as one of your...
Do you know... You have a point.
Yeah. Or, well, it's a couple of roast
beef sandwiches. You have a point, if not a pint.
As if you were going to... If you were going to work, bring your biscuit tin and your few sandwiches in it. Is that what you want? Is that the way it's going to end up?
Well, do you know, that's not a bad question, actually. If it's okay to get the snack box from the local chip shop, why couldn't you bring a nice home-cooked meal down under your arm?
That's it. Or get someone the wife to come down with it and hand it in to you. Whatever. You know, I think it's ridiculous. And this thing of marking in and marking out. What are they going to do with your information?
Well, I suppose that is in case somebody gets it. To be fair, Pat, that they need to know who has been with who in case somebody gets somebody comes down with it, and they need to know where to go looking for it, where the virus is spreading from.
Sorry, Katie, I was talking about this keeping the receipt for 28 days and all that.
Oh, that, Jim.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then they're saying 103 minutes or something, you should stay in the pub.
Yeah.
Well, that's not happening anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, will you stay there, Pat, because I'm really enjoying chatting to you, but I'm being told I absolutely have to take a break now, so just bear with us and we'll take this 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Pat, thanks for hanging on there for me. I just wondering, when you did finally get the taxi into town and you got your pint, your 14 euro pint, as you call it.
Yeah, that's what I call it.
Did it taste good?
It tasted lovely. It was absolutely good. But I just can't see why you have to pay 14 euro for it. And, like, you can get a bus into the place from here and I'd have free travel. But the bus brings you in and you end up, you have to stay there for seven hours or 8 hours till you get the bus back. So what do you do for the rest of the afternoon? You have 3 pints drank. Yeah. Hang around the town and wait for a bus to come. Do you know, and that has to be all over Ireland.
Yeah, I'm sure, Patty, yeah. I'm sure there are so many people in your position who would just have loved to have, you know, as you say, gone down, met their friend, had a couple of pints, you know, was no bother to anyone. And you're now left, as you say, looking out the window, looking at the cars going up or down.
That's all I can see is cars or a bus going by twice a day. Yeah. And they don't see any, I'm back a bit from the road, they don't see people walking that you could sit at the door and say hello out to them.
You're
just lost. I'm here now. I'm nearly demented at what's going on. I just can't understand it. Like, one time we could smoke a cigarette in the pub, and Micheál Martin stopped that. Now he stopped you drinking. He'd have us drinking now with straws next in over a bottle.
To be fair to Micheál Martin, I think he got a lot of credit for stopping the smoking in the pub.
It worked good and then, but at the time, people...
Oh, sure, there was
outrageous what was going on. But would he make the pubs being non-alcoholic? Go in and have a cup of coffee or something? I don't know. It's just, there's no end to it. Like, they're talking about these wet pubs, as they're called. They're talking about them opening in a few weeks. So what's the point then of going into a pub and having to buy a pizza if in 2 or 3 weeks' time they're going to be open and you don't need your pizza? What's changed to make that happen?
I see what you mean, yeah.
You know,
why is it not safe
not
now and why is it
any,
why will it be safe down the line?
Yeah, in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
That they're looking at it the wrong way. Like, the airports are opened. Everywhere is open. Dublin is opened. So many cases. They locked down Kildare, Offaly and Leash. And there's more people in Dublin, but they can lock down Dublin. So they have to go on. They're letting the jockeys, the elite jockeys, as they call them, they're letting them come into the country now, race, without having any 14 days isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So letting them going to come in now for top race, for big race, where the money is.
Yeah.
So the money is coming before the people.
Pat, thank you. Thank you. I've been enjoying our conversation, Pat. I'd love to keep chatting to you. I just want to... There's been people waiting.
I talk all day here now. Yeah.
Listen, we'll talk again, Pat. Thank you for
having me on.
And thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on. Good talking to you. Noel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kate.
Thank you for hanging on there, Noel. You totally see where Pat is coming from there.
Oh, I do indeed. As a matter of fact, he has painted a wonderful picture of something that's dear to my heart, and it's the situation as regards to I'm not a pub person, but I can understand exactly where the likes of Pat's coming from, and I mean, because I live in a rural area and I can see it in some of the small pubs that have been remained closed. My general picture is, though, that the entire and I can understand, and I don't want to be accused by anybody, I'm a vulnerable person myself, so I'm very conscious of the dangers for vulnerable people, of what COVID-19 can do. But I think that we've got to start taking a look at collateral damage that the attempts of restricting this COVID are causing. Pat is one of them, one of thousands of people. We had, I'm a priest, and I'm not speaking on behalf of my parish or my bishop, but I'm speaking personally as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart to have witnessed people being put in plastic bags into a coffin, when in certain instances they did not die from COVID. where people could not grieve.
And did you, I didn't realise you were a priest, Noel. You give last rites to people in this situation?
No, I didn't, because I was a cocooner.
All right, because you have issue, you've had issues
yourself. But my point is that's one area of it, that we still have people who had to bury their loved ones in the last 6 months. We're still trying to have the wake. We're still trying that lovely thing that we have in Ireland around funerals and around deaths, where people are helped through that period. We have the saddest thing for me is also to see people looking in the blooming window at a loved one dying. What have we reduced ourselves to? It's not necessary, because we have the PPE, we have all that stuff. There's millions of dollars, or whatever you call them, euro, going into the health service. I mean, in the name of God, are we allowing people to die without anybody holding their hand, even for 5, 10, half an hour, whatever? But that's, it goes on, the jobs lost, the multi-billions that have been borrowed, the domestic violence hitting the ceiling. I mean, we've got to ask questions. Is the remedy now too expensive in the sense of, from my point of view, the pastoral care of people? I'm looking at people who are scared to death to leave their houses. There are people who, as I say, have lost their jobs. They don't know what's coming. Children, you've already dealt with somebody else that said it beautifully, that children are deprived of a hug. Mm. Our young people, our young students now have been deprived of proper college education. They can't go. WIT during the week said no face-to-face at all, except for one or two small instances. So the government then shoots itself in the foot by throwing out the thing about receipts. I would object strenuously if they were record and kept what I ate, regardless of where it is.
Would you?
What? I would, absolutely. I think there's a thing called civil rights, civil liberties, right to privacy, and the government threw out the thing last weekend also that they were going to give the Gardaí the power to go to houses. Now, we know that there's a minority of people misbehaving, and I was listening to Minister Donnelly at lunchtime, and he kept showing that there's a tiny minority of pubs. If you know that, Mr. Donnelly, you deal with it.
But
why would I throw out a whole blanket on everybody?
But why do you, would you so vociferously object to a record being kept and being made available to the Gardaí of what you ate? I mean,
for what reason?
Difference would it make to yourself? I mean,
because I think everybody is entitled to privacy of their life. So would you like to think that every time you go out, someone's keeping a record of what you eat? Would you?
I know it bothers an awful lot of people, because we can see over the last 12 or 24 hours that it has bothered an awful lot of people. But to be honest with you, personally, I'm not that concerned about a record being kept of what I eat. But I do know that the idea that this kind of information is held and would be possibly passed over does bother a lot of people.
Of course it does. And that we've records, I won't go into any detail, but we know the history of what went on here. It's stuff that was supposed to be terribly private and was shared around for different reasons. And that should never have happened. And I think the Irish, I don't know what they call it, is the Council for Civil Liberties. I know they were onto it. But really, you know, we need to just be careful. We need to keep the lid on COVID-19, there's no doubt about that. But really, at what cost? I mean,
you think there should be a cost-benefit analysis, Noel?
Absolutely. And I keep saying to people who say to me, why are you saying that? You should be more... I know, I'm very cautious about it. But I say to people, put a chart up, two charts on the wall. On the left-hand side, put right, COVID-19 to be avoided, treacherous virus. And on the far side, list all the things that I've just mentioned, only some of them, about the funerals, about the looking in windows, about people not being able to go to hospital, afraid to go to hospitals with their routine stuff, about people not being able to grieve, thousands of jobs lost, billions having to be borrowed, and some people will die as a result of that. When you look at that cost, you've got to ask questions. What are we doing? Is there not a better way, or is there something we can do to adjust this sort of thing so people are not in that scenario? It's awful. For me, as a pastor, it breaks my heart to see people unable to give a hug, to shake hands, to visit a sick one, to people dying. I mean, I had a crazy scenario during the summer. I had a couple who had booked a wedding with me. And it was never always going to be a quiet wedding, and it was grand. So I know a couple. I baptized the groom 29 years ago, so I know him well. A lovely couple, and they decided to go ahead with their wedding. It was towards the end of May. Now, we had 10 people in the church, and I was included in the 10. The two mammies with the best men, the best men, whatever you call them. And it was wonderful. We had a lovely, it took about maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour at most. Now, after that, I just happened on a Saturday afternoon, I had to go into town to do my normal routine supermarket shopping. I ended up in the supermarket for an hour, talked to about 30 people. And there was no restrictions whatever.
Yeah, I know. And Noel, I'm going to have to take another break, okay, I'm afraid. But thank you for that. And I know those are the kind of anomalies that are driving people crazy as we go work our way through this. But I will take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I know I said that was our last break, but apparently it wasn't our last break. We have to go to another break. And we have so many people who have been trying to get on air with us with the various stories of their lives during COVID, particularly Fiona, who wanted to talk to us about her mother who has dementia. They've been stuck at home for 6 months. She's seeing her deteriorating before her eyes. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to get to Fiona today, but hopefully we'll get back to her again. But I am going to have to go to another break now.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I'm afraid we are right out of time today. And again, apologies to all of you who wanted to get on air. And Joe is going to be back with you next week. So I just wanted to thank all of the callers who called in over the weeks that I've been sitting in for Joe over the summer. It has been a pleasure and it has absolutely been a privilege. And I want to thank the outstanding Liveline team who have been so brilliant to work with over this summer. So that's it from me. I'll be back on Late Debate and with my new Saturday show. I'm really excited about that. But from the team here, Annette Egan produced today, Dave Gibson was on sound, Maeve Mooney was our BCO, Rebecca Meehan Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. So please stay tuned now for Ray Darcy, who's up next.